D and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father, through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanksgiving week, as we, at least in my case, I reflect upon the Thanksgivings of years past and how participants change, venues change, who we have Thanksgiving with changes. Going back to a lot of times of family and growing up and how everybody gathers around and reflects upon the goodness and the times of fellowship that we share with the common theme of being believers and followers of Jesus Christ. The Thanksgiving text, not for this Sunday, but for Thanksgiving itself, Thanksgiving Day, I'll use, which is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. I've used this quite often. I find it thought-provoking as we think in the story of the lepers and the grateful response of one leper in returning to appreciate and thank the Lord for what he had done for him. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, the following I'll read in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 clean, but where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And so he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. You know, our culture today, we hear a lot of focus on the term worship. People like to think it in various terms of music or of some collective celebration. But how did Martin Luther characterize? What did Martin Luther say was the true nature of worship? Amid the reforms of the 16th century, his answer was, in our text, the 10th leper turned back. That's his focus, or that was his take on what worship was, the gratitude or the appreciation that led to the salvation of this one particular out of the 10. You see, the story of the grateful Samaritan offers us another image of who and what matters to Jesus Christ, and should therefore, as a result of this mattering to the Lord, matter to us. It should matter to us. There's two themes in this particular text from Luke. There's two incidents of healing of the lepers in Luke chapter 4, the one leper in this case, there's 10 of them. Jesus' concern and Jesus' care for those who are marginalized. One commentator used the word marginalized. I've been contemplating, what does it mean to be marginalized? Somebody that's at the fringe. Remember, leprosy was a very disfiguring disease, still is. There's not much of it left, but it was almost eradicated. And they had to stay afar off. There were leper colonies. Movies will depict what leper colonies look like or what they look like, and not exactly a pretty picture. And so they weren't able to come close. You know, they could come up and greet someone without the chance that that leprosy virus would be transmitted to the someone that they greet or someone they interact with. And so you have 10 lepers here as Jesus is going to Jerusalem through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, as the text begins. It doesn't tell us about the national or the ethnicity of the other nine. There were 10 lepers, but we know one might be what we would call doubly marginalized. He was Samaritan, so he was rejected in more than one way. People are rejected today. We know that. So maybe the other nine were Jewish. Maybe they were Gentile. Doesn't say. Because the focus is upon the response. What's the appropriate response to Jesus for us? Well, a response of faithful recognition of what he did for us on the cross and what we have in his resurrection. And gratitude. Gratitude. Thankfulness. These 10 were well placed for him to see them, or maybe hear them, not necessarily as much see, but to hear. He'd seen them. He's the Lord of the universe, so he knew they were there, obviously, but they still cried out, right? He entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, as our text begins. Tells us that in chapter 9 as well. And ultimately, he arrives in Jerusalem in chapter 19 of this gospel. But he's in the region between Samaria and Galilee. He's also crossing a social boundary by his association with lepers and with a Samaritan. Remember, they didn't find it appealing. The leadership of religious teaching of that time didn't find it appealing to associate with Samaritans because they weren't accepted in their sight. And Samaria and Galilee border each other, so the King James translation or language, the reason between them is an interesting take on words. And it was an odd route for him to take to Jerusalem, as we read about this, that he had to go out of his way to go through Samaria. Maybe Luke has a little grasp of the topography or the region he's speaking about, but maybe his point is different. Maybe Luke's point in this region has to do with theological boundaries rather than geographical boundaries. Why is Jesus going to Jerusalem? Well, let's look at the order of Scripture here in the Gospel of Luke. We're heading to Jerusalem, where he will go to the cross. And these things he encounters along the way reveal something about the kingdom that he will establish as a result of the cross, as a result of his death, and as a result of his resurrection. There obviously was in his time tension between these ethnicities and these religious perspectives. And what God inaugurated through Jesus Christ is in this region between. And so the scene is, in some respects, fairly typical of what he did in healing. A plea by the ones who are in need, by the ones who see themselves in need of him. An observable command that Jesus gives to them to do the following, and the result will be obvious in what they received. And then we would think, or the expectation in our mind as believers, that all 10 would turn around and come back and express their appreciation to him. But 9 did not. Healing stories that the Lord provides for us. or that the gospel writers provide for us regarding what Jesus Christ does. They keep their distance because they're unclean. They address him as Master. Have mercy on us. Verse 13. And Jesus immediately sends them to show themselves to the priest to confirm their healing, and en route, as they're going, they are made clean, following the pattern that happened earlier in the same gospel in chapter 5. Cleansing of lepers was an identifying marker of what Jesus did. The leprosy of sin that we have, you know, we hear that terminology used. Go and tell John, the lepers are cleansed. The story of Naaman the Syrian from the Old Testament, and you know, the inaugural sermon of Jesus in chapter 4. Jesus Christ paid attention to outsiders, not the insiders. He paid attention to those that, here's the term, marginalized again. And he highlights that in many of his sermons or his messages to his followers. Hometown audience didn't like that. Remember the story of Naaman the Syrian. First of all, he's not an Israelite. But he was a receiver. He was a recipient of God's grace and God's healing. The prophet Elisha, who ministered to Naaman on behalf of the God of Israel, was Jewish, but he was from Samaria. So the focus turns to more narrowly to the one who is healed, one of the ten, who sees what's happened. They lifted up their voices, said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he told them to go show yourself to the priests. You know, given that Jesus had commanded all ten to follow the law required them to go show themselves. The priest would examine them and say, okay, your leprosy has been removed. You can now rejoin, you know, social norms and become back integrated in the villages where you're from. And so Jesus questioned, where are the other nine? Well, they were doing what he told them to do. Go show themselves to the priest in accordance to the law. So why does Jesus ask this? Because he wants them to consider in that action of going, showing themselves to priest, to come back and understand what was the opportunity. You see, something had changed. The opportunity was beyond simply being healed physically. Simply being healed physically. We appreciate getting well when we're ill, don't we? Of course we do. No fun being sick. It's no fun having surgery. It's no fun dealing with ongoing illness or long-term issues. We appreciate wellness. We're thankful for it. And so these 10 were thankful for their wellness on one respect, but didn't return back to, in that time, offer their appreciation to the giver of the gift. Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Your faith has made you well." Or as another translation says, "Your faith has healed and saved you." Healed, made well, saved. Or in King James, as we have, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. One thing is clear. There's more at stake here than simply mere healing. You see, faith is not a matter of believing only, but also of seeing. Spiritual sight that we oftentimes characterize it as. We believe, therefore we see God's action and God's work within the church and among believers. The one who saw noticed that, you know how we say, let that sink in, right? We might tell somebody that. Well, here, the Samaritan, it sunk in. He recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, his reign and his power, and he had something to be thankful for. The leper changes direction, the Samaritan leper in particular. Off course, or off the course towards the priest, he first returns to the feet of Jesus Christ. To recognize that what we see makes all the difference. What do we see in the face of adversity? Well, sometimes we see danger. Maybe in the face of adversity, we should see opportunity. In the face of human need, do we see demand or do we see gift? In the face of a stranger, somebody that we don't know, do we see a potential enemy or do we see a potential friend? See, how do we see it? How do we take it? So when we look at God, what do we see? God the Father. Do we see a stern judge? Angry with our missteps? Or do we see a loving parent that wants to correct our actions in our lives so we can more closely follow him and appreciate, much as this one leper did? When we look at ourselves, do we see failure or do we say, you know, that's part of my humanity, but I'm a loved child of God? When we look to the future, how do we take that? Do we see uncertainty in fear or do we see an open horizon opening up before us? Think about the adventurous of the times of population of our nation. That was a really adventurous folks that came here. Right? And those that were happy with the status quo, they stayed home in Europe or Scandinavia or wherever they came from back in the 1700s, 1800s. It was adventurous. The ones who saw the opportunity for an open horizon of free worship as they chose fit. The colonists of that time, you know, Plymouth Rock and Plymouth Plantation and all of those places that were established that we have predicated our time of Thanksgiving on. Areas were established with different worship patterns, different worship styles, or following religious styles. Some were established upon Anglican, some were established upon other different religious perspectives. You see, how we answer these questions, do we see the future in fearful uncertainty, or do we see it as an open horizon? How do we see ourselves? How do we see others? How do we see God? How we answer dramatically shapes our outlook and ultimately our behavior and how we conduct our lives. The reason we come together is to be encouraged, is to be fortified, is to be uplifted. Help us kind of put things in its right category and right perspective. Ultimately, to see God the Father working in our lives and in the world. You see, this is maybe even the key to the Christian life. Before we are called to believe or to confess or to help or to do, we are called simply to see, to observe. And to help others do the same, to see and to observe. When we are called in this time of Thanksgiving to point out blessing, we also are called out to proclaim God's mercy, to name grace, God's unmerited favor towards us. Sometimes it takes courage to name grace when things are looking down. You see, 10 men were stuck in a place where they could not recover from. They were in the no man's land, socially, religiously, and physically. You know, lepers probably lived in some huts off by themselves, and You know, how could they even provide for their basic needs of clothing and of food and of shelter? Very small group in any cultural setting of that time. By the end of the story, all 10 are made well. But one has seen something more, and the one receives something more. He has seen Jesus, recognized the blessing he had received and rejoices in it, and changed his course of action and his course of behavior. And because he sees what has happened, the one leper who is a Samaritan is not just healed, but he is made whole, he is restored, and he is drawn back into a right relationship with his Creator, God the Father, and with humanity as well. In all these ways, if we were to choose one word, single word to describe it, he's saved. What is true stewardship and what is true worship in Christian living? As Luther says, it's the 10th leper who turns back because he saw and it made all the difference. Think of the life of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. And how it's, you know, today we find most of our stuff online. We need to find something, we Google it or we go online and find it. We don't have the volumes of books that I can remember as a child or even when our kids were growing up, you know, you had a library full of different books. You had bookends. Jesus' life is framed by the bookends of people glorifying God. What's the first bookend? The shepherds on the hillside glorifying God and going to the manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. What's the back end of the back bookend? The centurion at his death, chapter 23, saying this man is a righteous one. And here everywhere, and here as elsewhere, we see in the interim between the shepherds and the centurion, Jesus' work of healing, Jesus' work of restoration, Jesus' work of forgiveness, Jesus' work of calling disciples. God is yet at work. God is working through the church. He notices. He heals. He helps people deal with hurt. He helps people deal with brokenness. And we're to notice that. We're to recognize that. And the manifestation of his faith in Jesus Christ makes well. They collectively lifted up their voice, but only one of them in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. There's many examples in Scripture of the Samaritan. Samaritan woman at the well, one. The Good Samaritan going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and taking care of the man who had fallen by the wayside and was not doing quite well because he had been waylaid by thieves, and he is willing to put him on his donkey and take him to an inn to take care of him. We don't know about the other nine, were they Samaritans or not. Maybe that's not important. I think what's important in this example in this, of the lepers is that there was one who came back, and we should be on that side of the equation rather than go along blithely along our merry way appreciating our wellness and saying, well, everything else doesn't matter. He was cleansed in spite of being doubly marginalized. His experience at this edge in this region in the interim perhaps makes his gratitude deeper. Because Jesus Christ was Jewish, and as an Israelite, to heal a Samaritan, come back and say thank you and express his appreciation and glorifying God. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? He knew the answer, but he wanted to prompt those that were with him to ponder that. How come the other 9 chose not to return? These men, assuming they're men, it says 10 men were lepers, but assuming they were Israelites, why didn't they turn back and appreciate him? They were, in many cases, almost invisible and unloved because of how they looked, because of what they had, because of who they were, and because of where they came from. But notice, Jesus clearly loves them. Loves all 10. Just unfortunate that 9 chose to continue on in life, losing the greatest blessing of all, of salvation. And so this Samaritan who was in that region in between theologically, remember there's, you know, you go from Galilee to Samaria, then back out of Samaria into the northern regions of Galilee. He knew what to be thankful for. He recognized that what he had received at the hand of God the Father in verse 15 was at the hand of this man who was an Israelite, not a Samaritan. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. No longer a stranger. Because in verse 19 is the completion of the story. He was a stranger, but now he's a part of the followers of Jesus Christ. And so he told him, in the second piece of the equation, first of all, there's a healing. But in part 2, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Whole in the spiritual sense, saved, the one word that would describe it. Not much tells us, or is given, or there's no record given of what happens to this man. I would like to think he becomes part of the disciples of the Lord, and a follower of him, and went with him to Jerusalem, and was there at the events of Holy Week, and was there at the cross, and was there at his death, and was there at his resurrection. That's how you'd like to picture these ones who became followers of the Lord in his time. We are followers of the Lord in our time. And this time, or this week of Thanksgiving, Thursday, when we, you know, gather together in whatever the venue might happen to be, we take some time to consider and to appreciate and know the presence of the Lord in our life. Be grateful for our salvation. Be grateful of scripture that we have that illuminates our walk of faith. And be grateful for the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us in the ways of truth. Amen.